You are about to hear a life-changing message that was preached at the Kodesh Family Church Memphis by Reverend Kojo Orleans Lindsay. Now relax and be blessed as you hear this anointed word.
It gets sweeter and sweeter, day by day. Yes, it does. You know I have only one talent.
Only one talent.
But I don't wanna despise that talent.
Only one talent.
I know someone who has two talents.
Only one talent.
And someone else who has five talents. And so, Lord, I feel like hiding my gift. I feel like hiding my gift when I'm in the midst of gifted people. Oh, Lord, I feel like hiding my talent. I feel like hiding my talent when I'm in the midst of gifted people. Oh Lord, only one talent.
Only one talent.
Others have more.
Only one talent.
Many more talents.
Only one talent.
I need to use what I have. If I want to hear you say, well done.
Only one talent.
Good and faithful servants.
Only one talent.
Cause if I give to you one talent, you will be judged for that talent. Oh Lord, I have so many fears in me.
Only one talent.
I feel afraid that people will laugh at me.
Only one talent.
I don't wanna be embarrassed. That is why I hid myself.
Only one talent.
And so, dear Lord, am I falling short? Am I walking in fear? Or do I have a spirit of fear? Oh, Lord, am I falling short? Am I walking in fear, or do I have a spirit of fear? Oh Lord, only one talent.
Only one talent.
Others have more.
Only one talent.
Many more talents.
Only one talent.
I need to use what I have. If I want to hear you say, well done.
Only one talent.
Good and faithful servant. Cause if I give you one talent, you will be judged for that talent. Oh Lord, there's the issue of laziness too.
Only one talent.
I feel tired of a time. I don't like doing difficult things. I feel tired all the time. I like to take my time.
Only one talent.
That is why I hid myself.
Only one talent.
And so, dear Lord, I'm so afraid. I don't want to hear useless servants.
so dear Lord, I don't want to hear these words. I don't want to hear you say, slothful servant, wicked servant. Oh Lord, only one talent.
Only one talent.
Others have more.
Only one talent.
Many more talents.
Only one.
I need to use what I have. If I want to hear you say, well done.
Only one.
Good and faithful servant.
Only one.
Cause if he gives you one talent, you will be judged for that talent.
Amen. Next, we have the most important part of the service. Amen. You know what it is. It's the word of God. Every power that's against you today is about to be exposed. The word says the Lord had made himself known and he has executed judgment. So you're about to hear the powerful message from Reverend Kojo Orleans Lindsay. Please put your hands together as we welcome God's mouthpiece, amen, our beloved pastor, Reverend Kojo Orleans Lindsay. Amen.
Hallelujah. What a blessing to be here. Yeah, we want to sing to the Lord whose name we adore. Woo!
Those who know your name, put their trust in you. There is no other faithful God, so loving and true. Those who know your name,
put their trust
in you.
There is no other.
There is no other faithful God, so loving and true.
Jump,
how I love the name of Jesus.
Wait, wait.
Oh, how I love his name so sweet.
Jump, wait.
Oh, how I love the name.
you really love that name? Express, express yourself in praise. Come on, come on.
Oh, how I love His name, so sweet. Oh, how I love the name of Jesus. No other name means more to me.
Hallelujah to the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What a day to live. What a day to be alive. What a day to serve the Lord. The devil thought that the corona will keep us. But rather, we are more expressive than ever. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, David's wife, Michal, when David was expressed so in his praise, called David and said, you know, how the king was so vile before his own maidens, who dressed until his clothes fell off. And then David said, you are actually speaking against my behavior in the presence of God. It was before the Lord who chose me, even when your father was present, that I'm doing it. I'm even more vain before those. And these maidens you're talking about will respect me, even if you don't respect me. May the Lord cause honor to come to you as you honor Him with your praise, expressions of praise. And may all expression free praise people, may God give you some new life so that you can join in the praise and the blessing in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, there's something in Acts chapter 16 that Paul and Silas did. The Bible says that at midnight, even in the problem, the midnight of your life, they lifted up their voice in prison and they praised God till the prisoners heard them. And the Bible said, beautiful things happened. The Bible said that because of that, the prisoners heard them and their shackles were broken. Their chains fell up. There was an earthquake and the Lord released them. May the Lord do an earthquake type of a miracle that will shake every part of your body with amazement and with awe in Jesus Christ's mighty name.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That shall be. It's only for those who believe.
I believe.
The louder your amen, the faster it will come in Jesus'
amen.
Name.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We thank the Lord. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I just want you to know that before I start, I want you to know a few things that, you know, at this time, there are many people that are trying to come on. Call your friend, call your sheep, call the person you are not able to find on this. You can scroll and find out and make sure that everybody is on, because what the Lord has for you is powerful. Today, we're going to have an anointing service by the grace of God.
Amen.
We have been preaching about anointing. We cannot end it without having anointing service. Get some oil, even if it's just a little bit. Every oil, even if it's cooking oil, we are going to pray and God will convert it into holy anointing oil.
Amen.
With the calamus, with the myrrh, and with the sweet calamus and the cinnamons that do fragrance to the Lord. And you see the difference. Today, because what we are going to talk about is very important, okay? So it's very, very, very important that you get all your friends and loved ones and family and sheep, okay? It doesn't matter if you miss 5 minutes early, just so that two other people will join you here, because what is going to come, well, you know, many times you are blessed, but you can't keep the blessing. And I'm going to share with you why. And you'll realize that it's important that you get this thing going. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, I don't know whether it is me, but it looks like, is the glow on my face a bit too much, or it's okay? You can see me, you can hear me, that's good enough. Hallelujah.
Amen. The kind of.
Beautiful. Well, so that's very important. And the second thing that I want you to know is that, listen, if you have a laptop in your house, never use a phone or a tablet for the church service. Why? Because when you go on Zoom on your laptop, you can see 25 people at every time. When you scroll, you see 50. Scroll, you see 75. And you see 100. Every scroll, you see 25 other people. And because we don't meet together, this is our only opportunity to see ourselves like that. And Bible says that, you know, iron sharpeneth iron. Proverbs 27:17. So that a man sharpen the countenance or the features or the face of his friend. So don't think that your face is not part of your ministry. Some of you, your face is your ministry. Just the fact that we see you, suddenly we are blessed. You get the point.
Amen. We are blessed. Teach, teach.
See, that's the truth. So let's see you. Yesterday we had a wonderful fellowship, and just the sight of people, many people are suffering from depression without even knowing. Because of this pandemic. You are, the devil has isolated you into your home. You just go stay in your home, and when you get to work, nobody hugs you, nobody smiles at you, nobody comes close. Even people who are smiling at you, you don't see their mouth. So there are no smiles, there are no hugs, there's no love. Everything is covered. Every place of expression is covered. This is the only place you see people. You are on your own screen, and there's no mask, and we can see smiles and joy and expression. And the devil wants you to keep that away from you as well and restrict it to just one picture or four. Please use your laptop. You see everybody by the grace of God. From today, if you have a laptop, please change it into change your phone and use a laptop, because you have Wi-Fi, so that you can have true fellowship with one another. Hallelujah. Like the 1 John chapter 1 verse 7 says, okay? Bible says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then do we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from every sin. Hallelujah. So let's walk in the light. Let's walk in transparency and openness to each other. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking about the anointing. Hallelujah. The anointing is the presence of God that gives you power to do things. The Bible says the anointing breaks yokes. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. I want you to bring it up. Isaiah chapter 10 and verse number 27. This is the anointing, you see. And Bible says, and it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing, because of the oil, because of the power of God. Ladies and gentlemen, every one of you, you need the anointing for the burden and the yoke to go away. The first yoke that everybody encounters is the yoke of the devil. You know, once you come into the world, you are yoked already. You are linked because of what Adam and Eve did. You are actually connected to the devil. You are outside of the garden. That's the first yoke. Okay? You only break that yoke by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of promise. You must say that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. There's an anointing that breaks the yoke, that sets you up to be born again. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God comes and ministers salvation. It's called, I discuss it in Titus, the grace of God that bringeth salvation, appeared unto you. All right? So everybody who is saved, the next thing you should look for is the Holy Spirit. That is why in Acts chapter 19, when, in I believe verse 6, Paul was there and then asked the people when he went to visit them, and he asked them, hey, have you guys received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Since you believed. When they, and then what was the answer? Please bring it back. Have you received the Spirit since you believed? And they said, they speak, I mean, from verse, I think it's verse, have you received? And when Paul had, no. Go to a little earlier. He asked them, have you received? Verse 3. Well, let's start the whole thing. Let's start the chapter. It's better. Okay. Yeah. And it came to pass that while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as even heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Oh, they haven't heard about the anointing. And many of our churches, we don't preach about anointing. But listen. Yes. And he said to them, then unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then, verse 4, then Paul said to them, verily, as John baptized you with the baptism of repentance, saying unto you, that should believe on him, which should come after him, that is, on Christ. Then the next verse. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, look at what happened. And when Paul had laid hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. That marked the beginning. And there were men were about 12. Everybody, if your house there are even 12 people, everybody will be anointed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
All right. So they were anointed, and that was another expression of their lives. Ladies and gentlemen, the anointing of the Lord is the presence of the Lord with a Christian that makes it possible to do great things. Acts 10, verse 38. Even Jesus Christ needed the anointing. Bible says, Paul was speaking about Jesus Christ, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Even Jesus needed to be anointed. How much more you? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power.
Amen.
You need the Holy Ghost and power. Who went about doing good? You can't do anything good without the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Yes. Wow.
And yes. Cast out, and who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So the anointing is God with you. The anointing is the power of God. The anointing makes you be able to do the right thing as a Christian, makes you bring healing or repair, correction, set things right again about your life, about your ministry, the way God wants it. And they were healed and they were delivered of the devil. So you cannot operate anything that takes over, that breaks yokes, without the Holy Spirit, the anointing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because we have not met, we haven't had anointing services for a while. But as we preach about the Holy Spirit, as we preach about the anointing of your own company, the anointing of the upper room, today I want to share with you how not to lose the anointing, or how to lose the anointing.
Wow.
You know, there are some of us, when we go to work, the amount of money you make, you should never be poor. You should never be poor. But what has happened is that you have not learned how to manage. Financial management is your problem. So much as there's a lot that comes into your pocket, it leaks so fast that you wonder whether you are demon-possessed, whether you are under a spell. It's like money never stays with you. But when we see the work you do and everything, you only owe a whole lot. Everything is now credit card, because you need something that rebukes the devourer. Amen. Hallelujah. That is why in the tithing in Malachi chapter 3, God says he will, number one, he will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing when you pay your tithe. And he doesn't leave it there, because he knows that there will be a lot of eaters and losing of the money. So he ends up telling us, and he will also rebuke the devourers for your sake.
Amen.
Amen.
He will rebuke the devourers for your sake. Hallelujah. He will rebuke the devourers. For it means there are things that devour your money. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that you will not suffer. Hallelujah. You hear that? And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall destroy, so that he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field. That is how we leak finances. Wisdom fails us. I mean, wasteful lifestyle, all kinds of things. And sometimes it's not even a wasteful lifestyle, but the devourer can be in the form of an accident, God forbid, or a sickness. You get sick, you can't go to work. Suddenly you can't earn anything, or you're paying bills, or, you know, you made a mistake and you lost money, or somebody stole your identity. May God deliver you from all that in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Now, much the same way, anointing is like finances. You can be in a church full of anointing, but you will never experience it because you are leaking it. What is it that causes us to lose our anointing when the Lord has anointed us? That is what I want us to share today. Today I want us to open our Bible to 1 Samuel chapter, the quintessential example of somebody who was anointed, who lost it. Two people, Saul and Samson.
That's true.
Samson was so strong, he could beat a whole nation. But he lost the anointing, and a little girl.
Wow.
Saul, also the same thing, was so anointed, the first king of Israel. But he lost it. What is it? Let me read to you some of the things about Saul that transformed him. 1 Samuel chapter 10 from verse 1. Can you open it? Can you please bring it up? 1 Samuel chapter 10 from verse 1. 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 10 from verse 1. Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon Saul's head, and anointed him and said, is it not because the Lord has anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? So the Lord anoints you to be captain over what he gives you. An inheritance means something you are given. God gives you something and God anoints you to keep it. So Saul was like that. Whatever the Lord has given you by his spirit, by angels, he's intending for you to keep it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So
Amen.
Over his inheritance. What have you acquired? Children, a wife, a husband, a car, a job, a house, whatever it is. Good health, God's inheritance. You cannot create health, but God gives you, and he gives you the Holy Spirit as a preservation and protection over his inheritance, over your church, over your Christian life. It's inheritance. Please, let's keep going. So he anointed Samuel. Today, that oil is going to come upon you. So he anointed Saul. Please, bring it up. Then the next verse. And he said in verse 2, when you have left, departed from this place today. Today, when you have touched the anointing upon you, by the time you leave, these things will happen to you. Watch it. God's inheritance will be safe under you. When you have departed from me today, then you shall find two men by Rachel's sepulchre in the border of Benjamin at Zelzah, and they will say unto thee, the asses which you went to seek have been found. What is it that you've lost? It should be found in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You lost a job. You lost some relationship. You lost some loved one. The anointing is able to restore these things.
Amen.
Yeah. It says when you're anointed and you leave, things that you thought was finished will be restored. Hallelujah. Watch it. It's going to happen to you. Just by the touch of the oil upon your forehead today, something supernatural will happen. Says the assets which you went to seek for you lost have been found. And lo, your father has left now the caring for the assets and is now worrying about you, saying, what shall I do for my son? Then go on. Verse 3. Then shall you go on forward after you are anointed. You go forward thence and you shall come to a plain of Tabor. There you shall meet the three men going up to walk to God, to Bethel. Bethel is the house of God. You'll be among the people that love the house of God.
Amen.
One carrying three kids, another carrying three loaves of bread, another carrying a bottle of wine. Let's keep going. And they will salute you. From today, so people will salute you and honor you and respect you and acknowledge you in Jesus' name. Jesus. Because of the anointing, Bible says of Solomon, the virgins do love thee. Pure things will be attracted to you.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. They will salute you and give you two loaves of bread. You will receive gifts and favors, which you shall receive of their hand. And that thou shalt come to the hill of God. God will now elevate you into his presence because of the anointing. That's what happened to Saul. He was elevated to the hill of God. What is difficult for people to do? Prayer, reading of the Bible, ministering, laying hands on the sick, they are recovering, shall happen to you.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
You're on the hill of the Lord. The Kodesh, the God's hill. Where there's the garrison of the Philistines, okay? And it shall come to pass, when thou art come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets. Your relationship with proper Christians will come to pass in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Coming down from the high place with psaltery and a tabret, you'll be a worshiper. You'll be somebody who praises the Lord.
Amen.
Godly music will be around you. Jesus. And harp before them. And they shall prophesy to you. You will hear godly words. You will hear prophetic things. You will understand and receive and believe prophecies when you are anointed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And Bible says, and the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you. That's the anointing. And you shall prophesy with them. Not only will you receive the blessings, but when you speak, it will come to pass. Your words will not be the same again in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And thou shalt prophesy with them and shall be turned into another man. Your life will be different because of the anointing.
Amen.
Yeah. When Jacob was about to be killed by Esau, his brother, the next time Jacob acquired anointing from the Lord, when Esau met him, he rather hugged him because he didn't see Jacob. He saw the anointed another man. You will be seen as another man in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, this is the kind of anointing that was upon the life of Saul when he was anointed. To the point where when you go down and read further, we don't have time, but the people met him and said, hey, I'm surprised. What is this that we are seeing? Is Saul also among the prophets? We thought that he was some you know, ragamuffin type of, you know, useless brother who is just following asses. Now he's a king. Now he's actually in authority. Now he's in command of finances. He's in command of anointing. He's a pastor. He's now married. Really? He has children and a proper marriage. Wow. He's well. He's no longer sick from that corona. He's safe and sound. My goodness, they will be surprised.
Wow.
It's all from the prophet. That's what the anointing does. That's what anointing will do for you as you go forward.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, something tragic happened. Something tragic. 2 Samuel chapter 1 and verse number 3, I believe. In fact, chapter 1, verse 19, 2 Samuel. Now, this highly anointed Samuel, look at this scripture. 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 19. Saul, this same Saul who was anointed, lost the anointing.
Yes.
At the end of his life, he was in witches' houses, sleeping with witches in their homes, and he lost the anointing. He went so low. And look at David's narration of this, what happened. He said, the beauty of Israel is slain upon thy high places. How are the mighty fallen? You see, you're supposed to be mighty, but you fall because of the loss of the anointing. God is going to raise all of us so much. But before you leave, I have to tell you how to protect yourself from losing the anointing. Otherwise, you go and it will be useless. It's just like I give you a lot of money and then you lose it. Actually, scientific studies have proven that in the wealth of this world, everybody who is rich now, if they collected all the money and they gave everybody $500 or let's say $5,000, at the end of just 1 or 2 years, you go back, the money will find its way to the people who had them before. Because there's something about those who don't have the money that makes them keep losing the money even if you give it to them. But it shall not be your story in Jesus' name.
Amen.
When that thing changes, keep what comes to you. But Saul, he lost the anointing, and David was describing, he was beautiful. How are the mighty fallen? Go to the next verse, verse 20. How are the mighty fallen? And verse 20. Verse 20. 2 Samuel, brother, chapter 1, verse 20. It says, tell it not in Gath. Publish it not in the streets of Ashkelon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. And then the next verse is what I'm going to talk about. It says, ye mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew, neither there be rain upon you, nor fields of offerings. For there the shield of the mighty is vilely cast away. The shield of Saul, as though he had not or never been anointed with oil. As though he had never been anointed with oil. May that story not be your story. Yeah. That you grow so big, became so great, but you ended up so low. In fact, many people that become rich, they don't end up becoming rich. Many people, I know relatives of mine who did so well. They were so much on top. I'm on the top of the world. You know, there's an unbeliever song like that. But they came crashing down. The anointing will preserve and rebuke the devourers so that you don't come trampling down in Jesus' name. Amen. So today, let's go to it. The things that cause you to lose your anointing. The things that cause you. There are 9 steps to losing the anointing. But you will not lose it. Hallelujah. And let's read it from 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. It's a long read, but I'm chapter 15. From verse 10. Let me read it gradually to you. 1 Samuel chapter 15 from verse 10. The Bible said, then the word of the Lord came unto Samuel, saying, It repents me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. Now look at somebody who is about to lose his anointing. He has turned back from following me, and he has not kept my commandments. And it grieved Samuel. And the Lord cried unto Samuel cried unto the Lord all night, say, please forgive him. That's how it's so sad when you lose the anointing for something. Look, everything that there is in life, there's an anointing for it. The Lord said it is he who gives you the power or the anointing to have wealth.
Amen.
The power to remain married. The power to keep a job. The power to stay alive and well. It's there's an anointing for it. God will give you several anointings in Jesus' name.
Amen.
But people lose it often because of these things. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place and is gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. You know, Saul didn't know that he had lost the anointing. He was just moving around. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou, O Lord. Be thou of the Lord, man of God. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. You see, now he's lying about the fact that he's performed. Meanwhile, he was lying. So everything that will come to you, don't lie about it. Accept it. And the Lord only wants to bless you.
Amen.
And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of oxen which I hear? What is it? God had told him, go to the Amalekites and kill all of them, their sheep, their cattle, everything, including their kin. And he had gathered the chiefest of the sheep, the most voluptuous, and had brought the kin and everything he felt was good. Ah, Lord, how can you destroy these things? How can this thing be bad? I mean, how can fornication be bad? Let me bring some fornication home. I've seen somebody's money and he's got too much money. I can steal some. Oh, I mean, how can the Lord say that tithing is a problem? I can steal some of the, you see, God had told him exactly what to do, and he was not doing it. And yet he was lying about it. He was about to lose the anointing. The anointing that he made him great, he was fighting it. And Saul said, they have brought these things from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord, your God. And the rest, they utterly destroyed. And look, then someone said to stay here. I will tell you what the Lord has said to me this night about you. And he said to him, carry on. You see, that's how people who are losing the anointing. They will even beg, oh, say what you say. I mean, what can you say? There's nothing to say. Speak. And Samuel said, when you were a little in your own sight, were you not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed you king over Israel.
Oh.
And the Lord set you on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are all consumed or killed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? For you flew over the spoil and did evil in the sight of the Lord. And Saul started arguing with Samuel. Say, yay, I have obeyed. You see, I have obeyed. See, that's how some of us do. When the word of God is coming, say, oh, it's not for me. It's not me. I've not done anything wrong. Why is he preaching about me? Look at that. That's what Saul.
Mercy.
I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. And I've gone the way which the Lord sent me. And I've brought Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And I've utterly destroyed the rest of the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, the sheep, the oxen, the chief of all the things, the greatest of them, which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. You see, now he's lying. They selected for themselves. Oh, I was just bringing it to sacrifice. So when you are asked something and it's a lie, say it, I'm lying. Now, once you start telling a lie, oh, I've destroyed everything. But I hear them bleating. Oh, you know, it's just a few ones that they chose, the best ones. And then he said, but the Lord said destroy everything. Oh, actually, it's true. I forgot it. They brought it because I told them to sacrifice it to your God. You see, you have to support a lie with a lie all the time. That's when you start lying. The best thing to free yourself is just to tell the truth. And I know it's me, just like David, it's me. And then Samuel said, has the Lord a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than to sacrifice and to hearken the fat of ram. For rebellious is as a sin of witchcraft and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, the Lord has also rejected you from being king.
Mercy.
Anointed. Those days, it's only when you are anointed that you are becoming king. So when they say he's rejected you from being king, it means he's taking his anointing from you. You've lost your anointing. Whatever it is, position that you are holding, whether you are a wife, a husband, a son, a mother, a job, whatever, there's an anointing that's keeping you there. May you never lose it.
Amen.
And Saul said, again, he's arguing, oh, I have sinned. Now you've slid and lied. Now you've realized I've sinned. For I have transgressed the commandment. It's only when he saw the implication that he said, I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord. Should we have to argue with you so much and negotiate and talk, counsel you until you are bound to be destroyed? Until now, the final sentence before you say,
yes, Lord.
He said, I fear the people. I fear the people and I obeyed their voice. Now, therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said, Saul, I will not return with you. It's finished. It's over. It's over. For you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has also rejected you from being anointed king over Israel anymore. As Samuel turned, about to go away, Saul, in a desperate move, held upon the skirt of mantle, and he tore the chief's clothes. I mean, he's now fighting with his pastor. He's now grabbing the pastor. Come here. Do you know who you are talking to? Pride. And he tore the priest's garment. And listen to what happened. And Samuel turned and said to him, the Lord has also torn the kingdom of Israel from you this day. And has given it to your neighbor. And that is better than you. Listen, don't let your anointing be sent to giving to somebody else. I'm not going to allow the anointing that allows me to preach. I will never be so pompous and feel so big that the Lord said, no, now I'm going to get this guy. Who wants to preach? You, some of the little boys, to come and preach. No, I don't want to. I want to be. And also, the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. It means that he said that, not only that, God will not change his mind about you, no matter how. There's a certain way you behave. When the anointing, you lose it, it is finished. Samuel, on the other hand, Samson, on the other hand, he repented when he misbehaved. When he went to prison, he was there and he spoke to the Lord and things, and his hair grew back and he was able to fight with power again. Not everybody has a second chance. And today I want you to know that the anointing, if you lose it, you may not have a second chance. How? What are the steps that if you actually come against, you will lose the anointing? Number one, if you don't want to lose the anointing, don't disobey specific commands of the Lord for your life and ministry. I'll say it again. You want to keep the anointing and the position. Associate anointing with the position that God has given you. Remember, everything it takes an anointing to keep from the Lord's inheritance. Everything God has given you. If you remember, like 1 Corinthians 4:7, who makes you to differ from another? What have you that you did not receive? If you received it, why dost thou glory as though thou did not receive it?
Yes.
So everything you are, everything you have, there is an anointing. If you are a Christian, it's God's inheritance for you. Yeah, it's true. Now, he says, therefore, don't disobey. Okay? Now, to disobey God is to reject his commandments. Like Adam and Eve, they had a grace to live in God's place. And that grace was with them until Satan came to tell them to disobey God. Immediately, their position was lost because they lost the Spirit of God and the anointing. Listen, sin causes you to leak the anointing. That period. Adam and Eve, that thing they lost is not just nakedness, whatever it is, but they lost the Spirit of God. They lost the Spirit of God. They lost the anointing of God. They lost their position. They lost what made them, whatever God had destined for them. Their garden life was lost. Because they had lost the Spirit of God. They leaked the Spirit through disobedience. That was the same thing that Saul suffered. And David said, look at this man, as if he was never anointed. Which you see that we can look at Adam and Eve, look at these people, as if they never lived in the garden. Today, they are mending leaves to cover themselves, as if they were never rich. Today, they are fighting, they are going on the floor, struggling to even eat, as if they were never provided for. As if they were never rich. Today, they have no ministry with the Lord. No presence of God. God sacks them and says, no, my presence shall not be with you. As if they never had the presence of God. Is that what you want? Ladies and gentlemen, some of you, your safest place, Bible says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
That's right.
And you shall see of the Lord. He's my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I will trust.
Oh, amen.
May I put my trust in God. Disobedience. As you read the book of Leviticus, did you know? I was shocked. Leviticus, we are doing Bible challenge in Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 6 in the New Living Translation. Bible says when you sin against somebody, what you disobey God in that thing, you actually have become unfaithful to God.
That's right.
Yeah. So actually sinning is just a matter of a relationship that is broken with God. Uh-huh. That means that connection to the anointing is severed and is not flowing anymore.
Amen.
Walk in holiness. Walk in righteousness. Walk in obedience and see the Lord flood you with his anointing and his presence.
Amen.
Amen.
The Bible says that it is the relationship. You are separated. God, when Adam and Eve sinned, they were separated from the presence of God, from the Spirit of God, from the power of God, and their identity and position was lost. Yeah. May I count it every day. The Lord, what is it that I'm doing? I'm confessing my sin. So you should live in a state of confession all the time so that you don't lose the anointing. Number one.
Wow.
Don't disobey the specific commandments of the Lord for your life and ministry. What is it that the Lord has said? God says that flee youthful lust, stop fornicating. God says that pay your tithes, just do it. God says honor your parents, just do it. Just do it. Amen.
Amen.
All right. God says worship. Just worship. You will be blessed so much. I'm telling you, it's a sweet life to walk under the covering of the Lord through obedience.
Yes,
and so. You see Saul, he lost it. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 10. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repents me, grieves me that I've set Saul to be king. For he has turned back from following me, obeying me, and has not performed my commandment, and it grieves me. Hallelujah. Mercy. Step number two. Okay, so if you want to keep the anointing, don't disobey God. If you want to keep the anointing, don't become big, proud in your own eyes.
Mm.
1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 17. Look, be humble, be humble. Be humble. Church members, they call me, come and help me with this. I just go. Come and pray for me. I just go. You call me and see. I'll just come like your servant. Like your servant. Because I can't be too big. Because they call me pastor, I see myself as a chief servant. I'm the servant of all. And minister's work is to serve. So I'm here to serve you. Call me anytime. I will call you back. I'll text. That's even true. If I'm working, you see, I'll call you back. All of you have called me. You know that.
That's right.
You are the one that when I call, you don't mind me. Because you are proud, many of you, not all of you, but some the proud people didn't come. But those of you who came to, you know yourselves. But look, even they call, you don't mind, you don't care.
I see.
The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 17, and Samuel said, when you were little in your own sight, were you not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed you king over Israel. When you are humble, the Lord anoints you. Humility brings the anointing. Let me tell you how the anointing comes. Psalm 133. The Bible says, behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in harmony. It is like the ointment or the anointing oil that was upon the head of Aaron that ran down from his beard and onto his garment. That means if you are humble, the anointing flows upon you, will flow upon you. From the top, it will come upon you. But when you now rise up, you want to sit on top of Aaron's head. You have become too big.
Hey.
You are not in position. You don't relate with people in honor. Then you lose the anointing. One person told me, I'm my own man. That's the only way to losing the anointing.
Hey.
The Bible says in 1 Peter. In fact, let me go to where Saul was chosen when he was small in his own eyes. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 21 and 22. You'll be shocked. When the Lord anointed Samuel, he was very humble. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 21 and 22. That was when God anointed him. Watch how he spoke. You see the way he was speaking to Samuel. Oh, I've not done anything. Oh, what is it? And even Samuel said, I won't hide. And he's going. He pulls Samuel, come back here. And he tears his clothes. You see, the guy has become proud. Look at how humble he was when he was chosen. When he had lost his donkeys and he was told that he was going to be anointed to be king. Look at how he spoke. And Saul answered and said, look, I'm not fit to be anointed. Am I not a Benjamite? My tribe is the smallest tribe of all the tribes of Israel. How can you choose me? And my family is the smallest family of all the families of Benjamin. And me, I'm the smallest in my family. You are speaking to me like this. How? I can't be king. Don't say such big things. That is how lowly he was, and he was anointed. When you become humble, the anointing will pour on you.
Amen.
But then the next verse, and Samuel took Saul and his servant and brought them into his parlor and made them sit in the chiefest place among them that were invited, which were about 30 persons. They put that little boy who said, I'm the smallest in my family. My family is the smallest in the smallest tribe of Israel. And my tribe, Benjamin, is the smallest in the whole of Israel. He was raised. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will lift you up in due time. In fact, the verse 5 says, the second part of the verse 5 says that if you're anybody who's proud, the Lord resisted the proud and grants grace to the humble. When you are proud, the Lord actually fights you like he fought Saul. He fights against your anointing, your position. The Lord is against you, resists you. Anybody who wants to be anointed should remain humble. Be humble at your workplace. Be humble in church. Be humble before your parents. The way some of you young people speak to your parents. How can you be anointed? Because you set yourself up for the Lord's resistance. Right. This time, the devil doesn't even need to fight you because the Lord himself is resisting you.
I see.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's how people lose the anointing. When, God forbid, if I decide to rise up, I'm too big. God cannot talk to me, cannot control me. Bishop cannot talk to me. Apostle cannot talk to me. Hey. I am setting my... May it never happen.
When Amen.
Anybody sets himself up like that, you're on your way down. May you never be proud in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So number one is don't disobey. Number two is be humble and don't be too proud. Some of you, we can't talk to you. We can't counsel you. Hey, if there's a mental problem and your spouse invites the pastors, you tell the pastors, don't come. I remember one of our church members. He said, tell that your pastor Kojo, he didn't even say it's Pastor Kojo, tell that your pastor, not my pastor, tell that Kojo, when he comes here, I'll walk out.
Mercy.
I'll walk out. Number three. How not to lose your life. Don't become interested in financial and earthly benefits in your life and ministry. Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Let's read 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10. Which many who converted after have erred from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You've now moved away from the anointing. Yeah, the love of money. We are not saying don't have money, but don't let money have you. Money has a way of speaking to you when you get it. Anybody who gets rich, if you don't check your heart, you start speaking nonsense because money talks.
That's true.
Money can control you. Eh? Your mother comes and asks you, Kwesi or Johnny, please, I am running behind in my rent. Can you help me? Then you get up and you tell your mother, you are always exploiting me. Ever since I got this money, all that you want me for is, do you think I'm your investment? Did you give birth to me so that I will become your bank account?
Yes.
That is what Kobe Bryant told his mother. That is what Kobe Bryant told his mother. And he never lasted in this world. I'm sorry. I mean, you know, I don't hate him. I'm just using as an example, even if you're a Laker fan.
The truth, though.
But look at people like Kevin Durant. People like LeBron James, they honor their parents. When they gave the MVP trophy to Kevin Durant, he cried and said, my mommy, my mother is a real MVP. He's a real MVP. He's a real MVP. Yeah. Don't become interested. So it was just the money part. that he wants. Don't become interested in money. Eh? Just money as the reason for what you do. Do things because of the Lord. Don't do things because of money. And the money will flow. When you get to work, serve the Lord with your job. Look, Colossians 3:23 and 24, it says that whatever your hand finds to do, do it well, as unto God, not as unto man. Knowing this, that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of your inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Let your, even your workplace, look up to God and serve, not because of the money. The money will flow. If you serve with good quality, promotion will come, pay raise will come. Ah, your resume will be so loaded that even when you move to another job, challenge, as you are moving, your boss is saying, stay and let's increase, let's match whatever they are giving you, because you didn't do it for just the finances. I know you went because of money, but once you've entered there, do it because of the Lord. Clap for the Lord Jesus. The anointing to have money will stay with you.
Amen.
I'm talking about the anointing to stay rich. Don't use money. You are married, and when your husband says there's no money, now you're going to somebody else, or you are relating with other things, and you are getting angry. You are thinking of divorce because of financial problems. What happened to the for better for worse? What happened to enriches for poorer for richer? What happened to that? What happened to that? Yeah. You are in the church. Immediately we talk about tithes and offering. You said, I'm leaving this church because of your love for money. And you've labeled churches money drinkers. Meanwhile, you are the financially greedy person. Even God, you don't want to give him 10%. How will you get the anointing? Even God, you don't want to pay tithes. Don't do things because of money. Do things because of your love for God and see the anointing to prosper you multiply over your life.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
Wow.
Yeah. The Bible says this Samuel, this Saul, it's actually 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 18. And the Lord sent there on the journey. Go and utterly destroy the sinners and the Amalekites and fight against them until they are consumed. Why did you then not obey the voice of the Lord? But you defied him and flew over the spoil and the things. You took the money, the richest portions.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Wow. Look at that. It's because of money. Let me just, there's no time. I said nine, but I think I'll give you just a few. Number four, don't sacrifice instead of obeying God. Some of us, instead of obeying God, want to do big things. Charlie, I'm going to disobey when I come. Then I'm going to do some wild deals. When I come, then I'll give God a portion. Hey, God is not looking for your portion. He's looking for your obedience, looking for your heart. Number five, avoid rebellion and witchcraft. Some of us are very rebellious. You can never be advised. The next thing is avoid stubbornness. Some of you are stubborn. You know, Bible says that Samuel told them, your rebellion is like witchcraft and your stubbornness like idolatry. He told him that, look, you don't know. Your stubbornness is when you're stubborn towards God and towards the things of God, towards the power of God, you are actually now putting God aside. You are worshiping an idol. Your stubbornness is a sign, I am fixed. No matter what you say, I will never say yes. I will never yield. I will never kowtow. I will never respond to counsel. Some of you, when we come and you are having marital problems, we can counsel you from night to day. You will never change. What you've forgotten is that because of that stubbornness, like Saul was told, the reason the anointing is leaving you because of your stubbornness, because of your rebellion. When I see kids that are rebellious towards their parents, when I see kids that are stubborn, when I see adults that are stubborn towards whatever authority, I see that these people, the Lord's blessing and status of the anointing can never affect them. Ladies and gentlemen, there's not much time. Let me read just the point of the next thing, step six, don't be stubborn. Step seven, don't be what? Avoid iniquity or sin. Step eight, avoid idolatry. And then the last step, don't operate in the fear of people. Don't let people control you. Let God control you. Saul responded, 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 24, and Saul answered Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord. Now he explains why. And thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Many times, it's because of sin when sinners entice you, don't consent. Please bring me some oil. Never consent. Today, the anointing oil is going to come. Find some oil in your house right now and dip your finger in that oil. I pray that every finger will be anointed today, that whatever oil you touch and whatever part of your body, part of your house, part of your property you touch, the Lord's presence will come to you. And that not only will it come, but the grace to preserve that anointing will be your portion in the name of Jesus. That the spirit of Saul that caused him to lose the anointing will be evicted from your life in the name of Jesus Christ. That every level of disobedience that has caused you to lose anything, that thing will be restored a hundredfold. The things that the cankerworm eat, that the caterpillars eat, that the locust nibbled at, may the Lord restore 10 times in the name of Jesus. Bible says, David, who was obedient, the Lord, when he lost things, the Lord told him, the Lord told him in 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 6, he told him, go, pursue and overtake, and you shall recover all. The anointing for recovery comes to you now in the name of Jesus Christ. Ha, Lord, I pray as we lift this oil, whoever there is, find some oil in your house for the anointing that changed Samuel's life, the anointing that changed Saul's life, the anointing that made David strong to overcome Goliath comes upon you. The anointing that God used to anoint Jesus, who went about doing good and healing all manner of disease and of the people that were destroyed of the devil, were restored because God was with him. May that anointing rest in that oil. You have oil, lift it up. And lift it up and tell the Lord, Father, I pray every oil in every house that is lifted up. We preach about the anointing. We've spoken about the anointing. We have discussed about the anointing. Now, please apply the anointing to everybody in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, let the holy anointing oil that was able to repel flies and demons, that anointing that breaks yokes in the Bible, that anointing that makes Jesus, the carpenter little boy, into a savior, let it rest upon your people. That anointing that made a little boy, the least in the family, the smallest in the family, the smallest family, the smallest tribe in Israel, yet he operated upon your inheritance. Let that anointing that promotes rest upon your people. As this anointing touches your head, put your the anointing upon your head. Father, I pray from the very crown of their head to the very toes, soles of their feet, anoint them and anoint by contact every person that is associated in their house, everything that they touch. Your word says of Job that you bless the works of his hands and his goods increased upon the land. Your word says of Jacob that he who was a trickster became a prince and had power with God and with men. Let power come to your people now. Even the Jacobs who were sinners, restore them. Your word says of Joseph, because of your presence through the anointing, everything he did, he prospered. Your word says of Jacob, of David, that because of your hand that was with him, your arm strengthened him. And you anointed his head like the head of the unicorn. Anoint your people. When they go, just like Jacob will not be recognized by Esau, the things that attacked them, let it be a thing of the past. When they meet the Goliath, the same thing that has tormented them for years, let them have the upper hand because of the anointing. Let everyone cherish your anointing, cherish your power. From today, may we become obedient people. May we become people of humility. May we not become stubborn, rebellious, idolat worshippers anymore. May we not operate in the fear of human beings, but may we cherish your anointing. I bless them with the blessings of heaven, with the blessings of the deep, with the blessings of your breast that provides everything, with the blessings of the womb that makes them fruitful, with the blessings of this field, like a blessed field, the fragrance of a blessed field comes upon you. May you be anointed. May you never lose the anointing. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, I see somebody who was about to die, somebody who had a chronic sickness, when they check it the next time, it will not be there because of the anointing that has broken the yoke. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and shout your loudest, amen.
Amen.
Clap for the Lord.
It's a good life.
We believe that the word of God has come through to you and you have been blessed. Come join our services at 5796 Shelby Oaks Drive this and every Sunday at 9:45 a.m. Be blessed.